Well, this message today, the Lord's been building for quite some time. So we're going to go first to Zechariah chapter 4:7. This is one of our theme chapters around here, Zechariah 4, but it's a very powerful part of this verse. And it says, for who hath despised the day of small things, or despised not the day of small beginnings? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line, and the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, for they are the eyes of the Lord that go to and fro the whole earth. It's been interesting because the eyes of the Lord are part of the operation of the seven spirits of God. They've kind of been with us to go up into the mountain to show us the mountain of God, to show us the revelation of the right hand of God. But here it speaks of another operation, a plumb line, the hand of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel really is king, the Lord Jesus, and a plumb line, it does not originate from bottom up. It actually originates from top down. And it's architecturally, they drop like a stone of tin and they use it to align the building, but they drop it straight down and the tin creates, that weight at the bottom creates a straight line and they build according to that line. But it's always dropped from top down. So there's two things about this verse that are very powerful. It's a top-down operation, not a bottom-up operation. That is something the body of Christ has to make a massive transition in the last days, from bottom-up to top-down. You'll get a little preview of that today as we move forward. Also, he says the eyes of the Lord would go to and fro the whole earth now. So we've been very accustomed to the eyes of the Lord showing us all things Father, all things right hand, all things throne of grace, everything in the realm of the Spirit, basically creating this map. But now he's beginning to shift the focus to the kingdom of God in the earth, the realm of demonstration. And also, it's kind of amazing, the eyes will shift focus too. The seven spirits of God will now begin moving into the earth. Amen? And those eyes have no limitation and no boundary. I like to call the seven eyes of the Lord the omnipresent omniscience of God. So with that said, go to Psalms chapter 8. All right, so Psalms 8 and Hebrews 2 are mirroring one another. In fact, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, he's actually pulling from Psalms 8. And it says in verse 4, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou made him a little lower than the angels, and then you crowned him, and that word crown actually means, if you're writing notes, you want to write this down, encircle, compass, surround. That's what crown actually means, to encircle, encompass, surround him with the glory and honor. You crowned him with glory and honor. And you made him have dominion over the works of thy hands, and you put all things under his feet. Those are four major operations right there. Now, in Hebrews, they're going to pick that up in chapter 2, say the exact same thing, but again, explain what all that means. And so in Hebrews 2, verse 6, says, but one in a certain place saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? You made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him. There it is again. Same crown means the same thing. Encircle with a crown him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands, and you put all things in subjection under him. For in all things you subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. So look at verse 9. So now he's going to explain what this verse means. He says, now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels at the suffering of death, but crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace of God should taste death for every man, and it became him. So watch this. He did all of this on our behalf. God had actually cut a covenant with Abraham just to get him into the earth, just to get him born. He had to cut a covenant with Abraham to get him into the earth. Once he came into the earth, he was mission on at that point. Now, when he speaks of here, he says, what a man that are mindful made him a little lower than angels. He's speaking of his death, burial, and crucifixion. That's the only time that he was ever made lower than the angels. Now, it's very important to understand that everything that was happening to him was happening to you. everything. Man had an estate in the beginning above the angels. Man lost his estate in his fall, and he be below. The Lord stepped into the earth, but at his birth, the angels were worshiping him. It was only at his death, burial, resurrection that he stepped in as the seed of Abraham, and he took the whole Adamic race and died to it. He brought everything down with him. Say everything. At that point, God was going to acknowledge a new creation, but everything had to die first. He was made lower than the angels, and then the Bible says he was crowned with glory and honor. And then he was made to have dominion over the works of his hands, and then all things to be placed under his feet. So you see all the levels that was taking place there. Everything that was happening to him is happening to you. The difference is he's completed all of it. He's fully died. He was fully raised to glory and honor. Dominion was fully restored to him. God set him over the works of his hands, and he put all things under his feet. All of that is done. And then gave him as the head a finished operation to his church. For all of us to conform to every single thing he did. Everything. So when we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says we are what? Buried with him in baptism. That's a continual baptism, by the way. There's a one-time baptism where we die in our spirit. Then watch what happens. We take the whole journey with him. Now, this is important because what we're looking for is the dominion mechanism. We're looking for where the dominion is. Amen? Dominion is a place and a position. It is a position that we have already in God. So notice where the dominion was with him. A couple of things. He died, then he was raised, crowned with glory and honor, and then dominion was restored from that position of crowning. And then God set him over the works of his hands, and then he put all things under his feet. All of that operation in Christ is ours. In fact, we are supposed to take that whole journey with him. And Ephesians says he was raised far above all principality and power. Say all principality and power. He was raised far above, not just a little bit above, far above. So he says this in Ephesians 1, verse 20. He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Where did he set him? Where was he crowned? At the right hand of God. With glory and honor. What part of glory and honor did the Lord didn't have before he did this? He had the highest position already. He didn't need to do this. He did this for us. Because he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man? See, he had to do this as the son of man. He had to come through the loins of Adam. He had to come through the loins of the seed of Abraham so he could take that race down to the grave and create a brand new creation. It is that new creation that he's going to raise all the way back up to sit with him in the exact place that he's sitting. And that's the angels don't even have. I mean, literally, if Gabriel or Michael walked in here, we'd all like probably bite the dust just because they're in here. But you know that you hold a higher estate than Gabriel and even the archangels? You literally do. You hold a higher estate than even the archangels. It's hard to understand that, but you do. And so what? He said, right in Christ, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality, power, and might, dominion, and every name that is named, only in this world, and that which has come, and hath put all things, there it is again, all things under, now I need you to get that in your spirit today, under your feet. Say, under your feet. And if they didn't put a chapter 2 in there, it would have rolled right into you, because he did this all for you. He took on the seed of Abraham for you. He took on your death and he buried it, and then he received an inheritance and invited you to sit with him in a co-equal position in the inheritance. So Ephesians 2, now this is important because this is where we make that journey with him. And if we don't make that journey, we're not going to function the way he wants us to function. And we're not going to be effective in the promised land strategies that he's presently given us. So Ephesians 2 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And watch this. And raised us up together. Say together. Wherever he goes, you go. Basically, the Lord said, where I go, you go. Raised us up together. Made to sit together in heavenly places. Seated at the right hand of God. In other words, when you were born again, all of your man went down into the grave and you came up. Your spirit man was recreated in the life of God, immediately quickened into the life of God and raised in a position far above the principalities and the powers of this age, raised together to sit together in heavenly places. That is the part where what is man that he's mindful of us. So much so that God sent his son to restore our position. Because man originally was given dominion. God never varies from his plan. We can vary in 3 days from our plan. God will work 6,000 years of human history to get his plan back on track. Because that's the way he is. When he sets something in motion, he does not consider failure. He's going to have man walking in dominion in the earth. Man lost his dominion. God immediately, first thing he said, the seed of the woman will bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. First thing he prophesies, he begins to immediately, in his eyes, immediately, in our eyes, it's thousands of years, but he sets his plan in motion to get himself back in the human race, take upon himself the seed of Abraham, God taking on a fallen state of man. He takes all our fallen state, buries it. Now, when God was raising him, we were being raised up. Watch this. Everything that happened is happening to us. Jesus was made lower than the angels. We were made lower than the angels. Jesus was crowned with glory and honor at his resurrection. We were crowned with glory and honor. That's what God needs us to attain. And it's our, we must come under the crown of glory and honor. That is a position of joint heirship. You cannot walk around with an orphan spirit and be crowned with glory and honor. We have to grow out from the orphan spirit to full age sons and then to joint heirship where we're crowned with glory and honor. That is our position. And in the crowning, set him into a restored position of dominion. Set him over the works of his hands. He's setting us in a position of dominion. Remember when Moses, I think Cherub was talking about it, the Red Sea, said, what are you going to do, God? And God said, what are you going to do, Moses? You stretch out the staff. See, there are things that we have to do, and there's things God does. But if we're going to be effective, we're going to find the position in which God wants us to do these things. So the restored dominion is where? Above. Where does dominion originate? When you were Adam, it originated in your birth. When you're in the second or the last Adam, it still really originated in your birth of being born again, except it's born from above now. It's still originally, it's in a seat above. That's where dominion must start. What we do is we hear a message on dominion and we run to the field. We run in to take charge. We charge in. Because I heard a message on dominion, we charge in. And we charge in with all of our own effort, toil, labors. And we don't get anywhere. Because dominion's not going to originate with our own toil, effort, and labors. Dominion's going to originate from a seat that's above. That's why we've got to go up. That's why God gave us a map to go up. Kind of interesting, there's seven layers in that map. Wisdom's building her house, hewing out her seven pillars. We got to go up to sit together, to understand who we are. We have to go up to partake of his rest, partake of his life. Like Kim was talking about, isn't that amazing that she's talking about that shaft that came over in all 14 rooms? Do you know how levels the soul? It's so multi-layered. And then you have the basement, and then God's light will blow it open, see? We don't get that part up far above. We can't get light into that area. And all God can really do at that point is anoint us with anointing in measure. But that Corinthian model is not what God wants to do in this last days. We're after the anointing without measure. So dominion originates from a position that's far above. We're seated together. And then he says, I'll set you over the works of my hands. You also are set over the works of God's hands. He'll set you there, and he puts all things under your feet. We must begin to operate from a position where everything is under our feet. Not being in the middle of everything. We got to get above everything to be effective, not in the middle of it. We've been learning to do that over the years. So, that brings me to my message. That was review, warm up, praise God. If you want to know the truth, I was sitting in Jericho 2 years ago. I'm not sitting there, but I saw this whole thing 2 years ago. But we were all led through the Jordan and led into Gilgal. The whole earth's been led into Gilgal. Everybody's undergoing circumcision. It's amazing how the earth is responding to the ark and where it's at. Somebody asked me the other day. So they said, where is the ark? What's God doing? They actually said, where is God right now? Where's he at? I said, he's in Gilgal on his way to Jericho. And that's really the truth. But then we get to the border of Jericho. And we're going through this whole operation every day. We're standing there to Jericho waiting for the Lord to come out to meet us. Because that's where it's all going to begin. The battle of Jericho is by divine design the platform by which the whole promised land will be given over. The wisdom that's in that battle is incredible. I'm so amazed of how relevant it is to our day when it was done way back then. The relevancy of this battle, of how it works, and how the training of the Lord has been given to us. And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me, because I'm standing there at the gate, Jericho, you know, and I know it, looking for the Lord of hosts. And we're learning to perambulate now. How many of you know what I mean by perambulate? We're learning to move into the Father and to see the promised land before we see it. Like the Lord said, I can only do what I see my Father doing. Some of you heard me say the Father is the promised land, because in him, he's already orchestrated the entire future. His plan is inside himself. His plan is already architecturally designed. There's nothing that's going to happen in the last days that God has not pre-calculated a billion times over. There's not one voice that's going to be raised up. God already put man in office for the last days. He's already set his plan into motion. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Even though we see from what is called, maybe I call it a linear position, Chuck called it two-dimensional. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He goes, you're looking at everything from a linear position. And he goes, as long as you do that, you're going to be ineffective to do what I need you to do. He, because you see what I'm doing in Jericho, you're looking at it from your perspective, not mine. And the reason you're doing that is because you're still not seated where I'm at. part of you is seated, but not the part that I need seated. I need your wisdom seated, and I need your eye seated where I'm at so you can see things the way I see it, and you can operate from where I operate, not from where you operate, because if you keep operating where you operate, you're still going to get your result. But if you want my result, you're going to have to sit with me, and you're going to have to see this battle from my perspective, not yours. Because basically, he comes out to meet him at the Lord of hosts, the captain of the armies of heaven. He comes out to meet Joshua, and then he gives Joshua very specific instructions. And Joshua chapter 6 is so profound. It's a book that keeps giving. I mean, every time I need inspiration, I just go meditate on it, and he just keeps giving more and more. And that, and this week, the whole thing exploded, and I thought we had kind of meditated it out by now. It just exploded in a brand new way. And even Anna in prayer, she goes, oh, my gosh, the strategies God's given us, the incredible strategies that he's given us to do what he's calling us to do. So I want to start with Joshua chapter 6, 1, and we're going to kind of move down through this chapter, and I'm going to show you some of the things that God is showing us and how to function in the last days. So Joshua 6 said, Jericho was straightly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. Kind of like the world right now, shut up. There's a lot of things just shut up. Listen, just because something shut up doesn't mean God's not active. In fact, God is very active. When things get shut down, God gets very active. Have you noticed that God has to shut you down in order to get himself active in your life? Because there's too much flesh, it interferes with his plan. Flesh will always get in the way. Now watch this. And the Lord, the captain of the host, the angelic armies of heaven, said unto Joshua. First thing he says, what does he say, Joshua? See. Say, see that I have given unto thy hand Jericho, the king thereof, the mighty men of valor. See this, Joshua. First thing to see that I've given you your promised land. Not going to give, have given. Not going to give. When you move into a promised land operation, you move into a finished work. You move from something that's going to happen to something that has happened. I've already given you this. Before we get started, this is done. That is very important. Before we move, to know God has already done this. What he's doing with us is aligning us up into what he's done. And the first thing he needs to do is have us see, not with these eyes, out of the heart. What did the Lord say? I can only do what I see the Father doing. What the Lord spoke to me, he said, I was dealing with Joshua in that hour where he was. I'm dealing with you in this hour where you are. Joshua wasn't seated together with me. You are. I don't want you seeing from a linear plane, a two-dimensional plane. I want you seeing from a three-dimensional plane. I want you to seeing from what I'm showing you. It's two very different perspectives, by the way. All right? Because the instructions he's going to give him, know this, see that the angelic armies of heaven, Lord of hosts, is with you. What did he say? I'm with you. In fact, he says it in the last verse. He said, the Lord was with Joshua. You've got to know he's with you. If not, you're going to do it by yourself. You're going to do it apart from him, and you're going to mess it up. You have to see. That's the most important part. But see not from this plane, but from his plane. See, what happens, we go to church together, we function and operate together for years and years and years. We all see things from the same plane. You see what I'm saying? Because we're seeing things from the dimensional plane. We see each other's issues, the knee tissues. I mean, we see from this plane, and God has to get us above to see from his perspective. So God's going to give Joshua some very specific instructions that have a whole lot of relevancy to where we are. And when God blew this open this week, wow, man, I started sharing it with a couple people and they got it and already praying that way. I mean, once you make this, and once we, listen up, intercessors, once we all make this shift, and we're going to make this shift, today we're going to make a major shift in the way we do things. Things are going to start happening. Because it's not going to be a singular person. It's going to be a corporate entity flowing together. And God's going to take all our faith and put it in one place. And boom. Second thing we want to see, because of what we understand about the angels, is see from what God's about to say to Joshua, see that Jacob's ladder is going to be instigated and commissioned in this city. So the first thing he says to them is this. He says, I'm going to give you the king. See it. Now you shall compass the city, you men of war. Now them, that was the armed forces, the men of war. That was their guys. Who are the men of war for us in our hour? The host, the angelic army of heaven. They are the warriors. They're the ones going to do the fighting. What are you going to do? The sitting. That's how you say it in Texas. You're going to do the sitting. They're going to do the fighting. You're going to sit. Remember Moses in the battle in Exodus of Amalek? God said, you want to win against Amalek? You're going to have to come out of that battlefield. You're not ever going to defeat that. Because that's human sufficiency and the wearisome toil of it. You won't win inside. You're going to get out and sit up on the mountain of God. And I'll have others fight the battle. Sometimes you think when you're walking around and you feel like you're carrying 100 pounds or 1,000 pounds. And you're walking in a sluggish atmosphere. And you're just thinking you're having a bad day. Have you ever been to a point where you're in a... just doing something? It takes all your effort to do something minute. You ever been that way? And it's like, just all you're ever to do something small is taking everything. There's no concentration, there's focus, there's no strength, and you think you're just having a bad day. What you really don't know is there's an atmosphere of Amalek around you. And that atmosphere has tried to come in to stifle the operation of God. And the more you contend against it, the more you contend, the harder it'll get. The only way to win against that is to get out of it. You have to get out of that atmosphere. And if to break it and shatter it, you got to get above it. Amen? Watch what he says here. He says, you will compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about it once, and that shall you do 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you'll do it 7 times. Say, compass the city. Now, linear, we're seeing walking around in a circle. Right? Our perspective, we're all walking around. From God's perspective, is a different perspective. Let me show it to you like this. I was doing this the other day. From God's perspective, He's building a circle. God's looking at it from here, right? And then we're looking at it from, let's say this is Jericho. I've got my plates. This is Jericho right here. See, we're seeing from that perspective. God is looking at it from that perspective. All right? The higher you go, by the way, the smaller that gets. If you're in Jericho, it's huge. But the higher you go, you can put your foot on Jericho and cover it. The higher you get, the smaller that exists. But God says, now we're going to compass the city, you men of war. I want you to encircle the city. Now I'm going to be doing something while you're doing something. Now you men of war, the angelic hosts are the men of war on our behalf, right? I want you to circle that city. Because what I'm doing is I'm building exactly what Kim saw in that encounter, which is a shaft of light or a cylinder that stretches up from heaven down to the earth. And what I'm going to do is I'm cutting out a particular area of the promised land that I am going to give you today. I've already given, but what we're going to do is take some scissors and cut around it. And we're going to cut around that whole city because everything's inside is yours. And I'm going to give you that specific place. Now, with that in mind, remember we have first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. First heaven is the realm you and I live in. Second heaven is the demonic realm. Principalities, powers of this age, third heaven, kingdom realm, God's realm. When God stretched that ladder of Jacob and opened Jacob's eyes, that ladder stretched from the third heaven down to the first heaven with no second heaven. And the angels were free to ascend and descend. And God said, I'm with you. I will not leave you. I will stay with you. Jacob wakes up from the dream and the glory of God seizes him. He goes, oh, how awesome is the glory in this place. He called it Bethel. He goes, God is in this place. Remember? And so we see the Lord tell Nathanael. He says, you'll see Nathanael. You'll see the angels of God ascend and descend upon me. And what he was saying is, I have the direct Jacob's ladder access, third heaven to first heaven without second heaven interference. Now that's awesome. That's what you call open heaven. Because when he looked up, there were no devils. In other words, there was some type of cylinder operation that carved out around Jacob, that carved out around the Lord wherever he went. It was nothing but open heaven. It wasn't open heaven out there. I mean, people were fighting him like crazy, but what flowed from him and to him and through him was always open heaven wherever he went. Because he acknowledged, I have Jacob's ladder, the angels of heaven ascend and descend upon me. I have that. But then he said, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, you have that. Right? So when God's saying, Joshua, he says, the men of war, which to us, we know the men of war are the angelic host, they're going to compass the city. What are they doing? From this perspective, they're just doing a circle. From God's perspective, he's cutting out a place that he's about to move in. And he's cutting all around it. Seven times. 7 days, and on the seventh day, seven times. Because every time they were going around, they were beginning to make this cylinder. You see this? Because what they were doing as men, God was doing with his angels. And they were beginning to make the open heaven. Second thing he said to him, he says, not only will you send the men of war, but you're going to send seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns behind the men of war. What is that? The seven priests, the Bible says, on the high priest, with Joshua, it was the Joshua the high priest, not the same Joshua, but he said upon this high priest's stone, there'd be seven eyes. They would be with the priest. So we know the priests always represent the eyes of the Lord. And the seven trumpets, what were those? We saw that in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, when they saw the lamb that was slain, remember, having seven eyes and seven horns. The horns represents that kingly dominion or the perfection of it. The eyes represent the perfection of the omnipresent omniscience of God. The eyes that go to and fro the whole earth. The eyes that go up and down. Right? They give you the ability to see. He goes, now, in other words, what is he saying? Send the crown to encompass the city. Because that was the crown. That is the crown. God's going to release. The crown is the seven spirits of God. So the seven eyes and seven horns represent seven spirits of God poured out in the whole earth in the latter days, which is the crown. John saw it as a crown on him. That is what was seen. So what's happening is we see seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns. What does God see? The crown coming down to the circle that was just cut out. See, the angels of God are given to us to create an open heaven atmosphere, to cut a circle in, a cylinder circle to drop in. Third thing that was going to happen, after the crown, the ark. the ark would follow the crown. Now, they were circling around linear, but God was doing this from third heaven to first. Every time they would circle around, God was dropping down, dropping down, dropping down, dropping down, until he cut the hole over Jericho. And when he cut the hole, and then after the ark was set in, then what happened? Then he says, you will send the rear reward. That's kind of us, the gatherers. I mean, the gatherers, that's the ones who are going to go in after. Now, all this happened for 7 days. Seven eyes, seven trumpets, a ram's horns. On the seventh day, seven times around. The word compass, get this, he says, you'll compass the city. You know what it means? The same thing the crown means, to encircle, to surround, to crown. You're going to circle. You're going to encompass the city. You're going to encompass your promise. You're going to encircle your promise. You're going to surround your promise. When God gives you something, he gives you something that has inhabitants in it. How many of you ever figured that out yet? So God has a promise. Like, hey, it's yours. Go get it. Then we go try to go get it. We fall on our face and said, you said it was mine. He goes, oh, well, you'll kind of need me to do it with you. But I've given it to you. We're going to do it my way, though. So what is God saying to us in our life using Jericho? Jericho represents a promise. Right? And it has a king in it, has silver and gold in it, and it's the prized possession of the promised land. First major stronghold coming down, and God's going to bring it down. What are we going to learn about how we're going to function in this operation? Well, the first thing we want to learn is we need to function in a place of dominion. So where are we going to function from? Here or above? Seated above, right? So as we're seated above, that's going to be the place of our prayer perspective. And then what the Lord said, he goes, you're standing on Jericho asking me to move and drop down. Like, you're praying to me, drop down. Here, here. He goes, if I do that, and I can do that. Let me say it like this. Andres, come up here. You're going to pray for me. You stand over here. Okay, I'm going to say, pray for me, Andres. Amen. So when you say to me, pray for you, that's what we're going to do. So what actually happened right there? Who's he praying to? Where's Father at? So where's his prayer going? Right? And where is it going to be answered? Down. What's that prayer got to go through to get to me? Second heaven interference, same as Daniel had. Daniel had second heaven interference. God works that way. He answers those prayers, right? So he answers prayer, but so many times those prayers get intercepted because even that Michael, the archangel said, listen, I heard your prayer 21 days ago. God heard your prayer, but it took me 21 days to get to the prince of Persia to get this to you. This is the problem. We're having too many of our prayers intercepted, right? But we're praying. And God said, why don't you... This is what he told me this week, fill the gap in. I'm like, what do you mean by that? He goes, why don't you stand over the position you're praying over and take your God-given right of dominion? What did I say? He said, I made you have dominion, what? Over the works of my hands and put what? All things under your feet. Over the works, over, under, over, under. I put it under. He goes, why don't you stand in that position and pray, orchestrate dominion over Jericho from this position above, not the linear position. I said, okay, how are we going to do that? He said, first thing is we got to shift your perspective. The first thing is, now, what's Jericho to you? Jericho could be your house, your home. He goes, the first thing I want you to do is draw a circle around what you're believing for. So I just did something. If you can put that up there, because I saw this in the spirit. I'm going to put something on the screen. He goes, I want you to draw a circle around what you're believing for. You see that? You know what that is? That is our building. You see that? That's where it all happens, right there.
Well, hey, you're just living a little too limited.
Well, God's saying, hey, before you stretch a circle around a city, why don't you stretch it around something small and then work your way up, Big Houston, right? You can do this. So here's what we do. We pray in our house, and we have aggressive fellowship. We don't have that anymore, but we used to. Father, bless her. See, you're praying inside your circle. You're not praying above your circle. You're praying inside. God doesn't want you praying inside. He wants you above. Because you're going to have the kind of authority you need to get the job done. And God said, this is what I need you to do first is understand you're not going to clear all the second heaven out in the whole world. You don't have that, and you're not ever going to have that. Not one person. The Lord didn't even have that. Okay? So you're going to have a sphere of influence or a sphere of authority, a God-given right of authority, right? To clear out and release the kingdom of God. Every one of us have authority in our homes, meaning every one of us could put a picture of our homes and draw a circle around it. Meaning I can now take dominion on a daily basis over everything and anything that happens in that household. Because we all have dominion in this circle, which is the circle of a church. What happens here? What is that? It's not just a place we meet. It's a place that's birthing, that's creating, that has a crown in it, that has revelations that's going to go to the ends of the earth, that has a promise for seven pillars of salvation, worship, intercession, deliverance, divine healing, benevolence, discipleship. It has a promise of a crown of Mount Hebron to set inside it. There's a lot of things in that circle right there. That when you see a building, I don't see a building. I see the Constitution. I see everything God has ever said, everything He's ever preached, everything He's ever promised. I see that as our promised land, except we've always been in this birthing process. We need dominion. We need open heaven. We need the crown. We need the ark planted right here. Boom. We need to exercise, function, and operate. He set us over the works of Satan. That's just a picture. But what if in that picture, we, on a daily basis, you and I, intercessors together, instead of praying on a linear position, going up, down, up, across, down, instead of standing right over what you're praying for, take out the second heaven interference and say, I am now part of God's solution. I take my stand of dominion and I stand over this Jericho. This is the bad part of it. Now I take this stand. Now, Father, I go up. And in this place, once I get into position with Jericho, I am going to pray from a position that's above. What am I going to do? The first thing I'm going to do. Now, what did he tell Joshua? At this point, you have to become Joshua. You've got to be Joshua. You have to take the God-given right of dominion. Because Joshua was given the orders to see. And then he was given the orders to release. Say, see, release. See, release. And he stood in the position of dominion and he drew the circle. This is the circle. We have all this promised land out here, but this is the circle God's given us right now. That promised land is going to grow larger. What if God circles the whole city in the future? What if we can get this one open? And God said, now expand it. Stretch it out. He wants you to look in the realms from above. Because what I'm looking at is I want an ultimate place of dominion. I want you to now stand in a position and stretch Jacob's ladder down. Stretch it down. You have a right to have an open heaven. Stretch the ladder down. Release the ladder and release it down. Stand over. Stand in that image and release by faith. A whole government of angels. A warrior angels. Promised land angels. Release them for the express purpose of cutting out a perimeter shaft, a perimeter of God, an open heaven in one place. That when people walk in that, and what they do on a daily basis, if they're released, they'll start clearing out all second heaven interference. When they start clearing out second heaven interference, if we all start doing this over homes, but especially we all get together doing this, we're all standing there. Every one of you, you're anointed. Joshua, go. Go for it. Stand up there. Stand over it like it's your house. Nobody's going to mess with my house. When you stand over there, and nobody messing with my house today. I've been given dominion. I may not have in my hands, but in my heart, I got dominion. And I'm going to stand in my position. Father, you set all things, darkness, under my feet. I decree and declare a host of warrior angels to release in the perimeter blessing of this house. And I decree an open heaven 24 hours a day that no darkness is allowed to function or operate. There's going to be a cylinder of light surrounding us. Angels of fire encompassing this house. Every day, when somebody can't pray, you're praying. And you're going to keep them dispatched every single day until God has a full open heaven where he stretches the ladder from third heaven to first heaven. Boom. Now the angels can ascend and descend freely. Somebody walks in here and said, oh my God, the presence of God's in here and there's nobody up there worshiping right now. I said, wait till the team gets up there. And then a team comes up there. The new worship team. Praise God. Already they say, yeah, you hearing that back there? Already they're saying, God, y'all have such anointing on your videos. And I'm thinking, wait till we get our team. But that team gets up in there. Now there's an open heaven. And they go, what happens when you're in the open heaven? You get caught up. Everything ascends. You ascend. What happens? You'll stand there in 14 levels of your soul. Bam. 50 years carrying in all of a sudden. 14 levels open and God said, we'll just get to the basement too. Bam. Light. Why? Because there's no resistance. You come in here limping. You walk out running. Why open heaven? The angels are going to clear the heavens out. Now what else are we going to do? Send the angels. Understand they're with you. Understand you have the inherited right of Jacob's ladder. Understand what they do. They clear the heavens. They're opening a cylinder. Let's go get the world. Well, what if God wants us to get the world? What if this is his little test pilot? You can get it over here. Why can't you stretch it over a city? Why can't I stand over a city? Why can't I stand over Washington, D.C.? Ooh, that'd be a job. I said, I'm going to need a couple more angels for all that thing. But if we could stand over there, that's not just the angels. You're in a position to speak. You're in a position of authority. You've been given an army. You have a position of decree to speak and release into that cylinder. Now what? Father, I release and decree, let the seven spirits of God, the seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience, and the seven horns of omnipotent dominion, let them release into the cylinder. You said they'll be poured out on all the earth. There's some earth right there. Pour them out right there. Fill that portal right there. Fill it right there, Father. Let the crown come down over this house. Now all of a sudden they're walking in and they got their money and all of a sudden the blessing of God hits them because the crown's in here. In an open heaven. And all of a sudden they start prospering when nobody else is prospering out there. They're sitting in the middle of heaven. They didn't pay the price. You paid it. You're standing in a seat of dominion. And not only it's one person, we're going to pull all our faith together and set that portal. And God said, if you can open this one, you can open up anything. Because this is a test pilot. Oh, Father's house. But we're not done yet. Now, set the crown in there. You set it in. He said, you do that. I'm like, you're the one that he goes, no, I've already crowned you. I did that. Psalms 21. Now he's giving you me my heart's desire. He set the crown of pure gold on my head. He goes, I've given you this. Now act like it's yours. Act like it's yours. Don't go try to run around the crown in your head in the earth in a linear position. That is not how that crown works. Sit in the place of dominion. Ascend. Sit down. Get loved. And then start exercising the dominion. You've set this house over the works of my hands. Father, this house is a house of apostolic government. I see a media station light blowing out into the four corners of the earth. You can start prophesying. I see the corporate eyewitness in it. You can start prophesying everything in that constitution. You have an inherited right to anything that God has said. We have a right to speak straight into that portal. What are we doing? Establishing a portal. Except this one will move. Which God says, oh, I don't want you to have that bell. I want another one. He just takes the shaft of light and moves it with us because it's going with us. It goes where we go. Because it's with us. It fills the room up. So when people walking in, we're not having to stir up anything anymore. We're already there. Say, we there. Then you stand over there and say, now what else? The ark. Whew, Father, let your glory. What did he say in John? He said, my father and I will come and make our abode with you. Where's with you? That circle. It's not so big. If you get up in here, you see problems because you're looking at each other. When you get up here, you're not looking at each other. You're looking at God. You're with God. You see his perspective. I decree a house that will not break rank. I decree unity and fullness. Now, Father, set your glory down into the portal. Set the ark down into the portal. See, you see the ark going around a circle. God sees the whole thing setting down in. Because he carved him out of city and called it his. Then he called it yours. He says, oh, don't worry. You're not going to do anything. I'm going to tear the walls down. You just do your part. I'll do my part. I'll tear the walls down. Right? So the ark. What's the ark? The glory. What's the glory? Him that was, is, and is to come. Now we don't have to go up the mountain. The mountain has come down to us. The mountain is here. You walk right up and what is going on in this place? What's going on? We've cut out a portal. We have an open heaven. The Lord had it in his ministry. Wherever he went, that whole cylinder open portal went with him. Wherever he went. Now the devils would go crazy around him. But thief cometh, he has no place in me. He was surrounded by a cylinder wall of fire. See that? But why not get it working in one place first, and then we can go out with it? That's what the Lord said. I want to break that thing open. Wide open. Stand over it and exercise dominion and teach everyone to exercise and speak, release, and decree from a position that it's under your feet, that all second heaven interference is under our feet. Father, we decree according to your word, and you said you'd be with us. Now join us down in there. Let your glory join us. Set down on us, Father. All of a sudden you start operating in there and the walls are shattered. They fall down. Oh man, you've got revivals on now. The open heaven is not a space. The open heaven, it is a place. It is a space, but it's created by you, not a building. The building doesn't constitute the open heaven. You did. Your position. You can do that over your home. If you don't like what's going on in your home, stop fighting the atmosphere of your house. You're never going to win that battle. Rise above. Get you a picture off Google and zoom in and out until you can see that when you pray. The zooming in, zoom out. Zoom out, young Jedi. You're too busy. You're too involved. Zoom out of the strife. I step out. How do you step in? I step over the picture. I've drawn a circle. Now I'm going to start speaking everything that God said. The first thing I do, I got to get some angels up in there. Start releasing things into your portal. In other words, take dominion over something in your life. Stand over it, not in it. See that? That is what he's saying with Jericho. There's a lot there. The ark's there. The crown's there. The angels are there. You're there. You go behind all of them and start reaping where you did not labor. You reap from a position you stood in. That is how he wants us to pray now. You have to have the imagery. God told me, he said, you get a picture from above. You got the technology. I just grabbed Google and I just zoomed in, threw a circle around it. Because I need you to see from that position. I need you to get out from the environment. Because your environment is what's causing you problems. You're seeing things from a linear view. I need you to get into a third dimension view. This is how Paul Yogi Cho did it, by the way. This is how he did it. He built the largest church in the world. He got out of a second dimension and got into the dimension of God and started seeing things from God's perspective. And when he did, pow! He told Casey Treat when he came to visit him, I'm going to close with this. I know I've taught long, but I need to get all this in today. He taught him. Casey Treat came to see him. He's a pastor up in the northwest, I think. And Casey was a young gun back then. And he went and see Paul Gung Cho. He goes, oh, Casey, you know how easy it is to get a 10,000 seat church. Come over here, let me lay hands on you. And he said he released that anointing and he came home and his place started growing and growing and growing and growing. They built a building and they filled it up, had to build another one, filled it up, and they had a third one right after because Paul Yonshu just laid his hands on him because he has an open heaven for increase. It's just on him. It seats 50,000. I was there. This fourth dimension thing is our seat of dominion and what we can speak. If you don't get out of the environment, you're not going to be effective. The enemy wants to keep us in a second heaven environment to restrain us. Isn't it changing the way you're going to pray now? You're changing your perspective. All right. So earlier I had said Andres to pray for me. He's praying. God hears. Goes up this way, right? Comes down. Why don't we do this now? Next time you say, pray for me, I'll say, I will, but not. I can pray for you right now, but I would rather pray for you when I'm in position. And what I'm going to do the next time I get in position is I'm going to go up. I'm going to get loved by the Father. Then I'm going to move over into a seat of dominion, and I'm going to stand right here. And I'm going to draw a circle around your head. And you're going to be sitting, I'm going to draw a circle around you. And I'm going to stand, not overlording you. I'm just going to stand above your situation. Because whatever's affecting you is being affected by a second heaven operation. So I'm going to get above it. And I'm going to, you can do it with your husband, your wife. Pray for me like this. You're welcome to stand over me anytime you want. I give you the permission. Be anointed. Draw a circle around me. I will give you a picture from top down. Somebody take a picture top down. Now you stand right over me. Draw a circle around me. And put on in there too, my little book, Carson Victor. Draw a circle around us. And start what? Clearing out. Father, I release the angelic host of heaven over that cylinder that I just drew. See, if we're too general, we can't clear out the second heaven everywhere, but if we draw the circle, our prayers are now focused. What? See that? I'm praying for you now. Standing here, you start to draw the circle. You see that? as you begin to do, you're releasing angelic host, and you speak and say, Father, I release according to Jacob's ladder, to extend the ladder down from where I stand in the third heaven down to the first heaven. Clear it all out over our leadership. Clear it all out, Father. If you see sickness and infirmity, I release healing virtue from the third heaven to break that infirmity over their body. You stand the gap and clear out the second heaven. You move a position from third heaven to first heaven in everything you do. What about your business? Can I stand over my business? I'm engaged in business all the time. If you engage in your business, guess what you do? You get linear in your business. You're going to deal with mammon when you get linear. This is what God's teaching us. You cannot beat mammon in a linear position. But if I can get above and stand over and draw a circle, now I'm going to speak everything God ever said about that business. I'm going to speak it right into that circle. First thing I'm going to do is release the angels and start the clearing out of the second heaven. It might not be your first prayer. They did have to walk around six times on the seventh day, seven times. It may take a couple laps of prayer to get things going. But know God's working. And start speaking the promise into the circle. See it? Then release the crown over the situation. Release the ark of habitation. Release the promises of God into that. You release them. You break the second heaven interference. You release the angels. You stand the gap. The gap. What gap? Between Father and the person you're praying for. Close the gap in. You stand as the gate. Lift up your head, O you gate. Be you lifted up, O you everlasting door. The King of glory will come in. Come in, through, down, in. That is who you are. If we can commit to do this together, that circle will start being flooded with glory. Father, thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the glory. Thank you for the light. Thank you for the understanding. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You have given us dominion. The position of dominion has been restored. Father, set this wisdom upon us today. Set the understanding upon us today. Set your glory upon us today. In your glorious name. In your glorious name. In your glorious name.
Yeah, I didn't teach this Friday night, but we are having Friday night prayer service up here at 7 o'clock. And secretly, I moved everybody up into this position and released a crown and the glory in this church and the angels and everything. But I was sharing with my wife, and we went in Saturday morning and actually went up and began to speak over our house and over our children's house the same way. And she actually had surgery on her knee about 10 years ago, messed it all up. She had to have surgery. Well, she messed it up probably about 3 or 4 days ago. She slipped while she was cleaning a bathtub and just totally messed it up again. She had to take off work. She had to sit up in the chair. We've been praying and just releasing, and just she's been limping everywhere. And so whenever we was in that place of dominion Saturday morning, as we was above speaking over, I was releasing healing. I was actually looking at her head, releasing healing into her body, into her knee, demanding for that kneecap to line up again and to loose that pain. And when she came out of the prayer closet, she's totally, totally healed completely.
Praise God. I think God's going to do some marvelous things here. How many of you are going to pray differently? Take your dominion.
In closing, the Lord has shown me this as well, because it has to do with Psalm 91, which we are so familiar with. But he shows us how he gives us his angels charge over us. This is because of Psalm 91:9, because you have made the Lord your refuge, and your home is your refuge. You have authority over your home, over your family, over your business, over your ministry, over your church. And this is ever expanding. He says that because he is the Most High, your dwelling place, there shall be no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent, your home, your sphere of authority. For he will give his angels, and he has given us his angels, a special charge over you to accompany you, defend and preserve you in all your ways. All your ways. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. As he did for the Lord, he is doing for us. And here's another one, because it speaks about open heaven. The angels ascending and descending, ascending and descending. And here's what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, and this is out of John, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works. Everyone say greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. One last scripture, because these were just like boom, boom, boom. This is the exchange that Jesus had with Nathanael. And he says, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. That which we see, he says, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He knew it. It was made known to him. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? He says, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Where is the Son? He's in you. He's in me. The angels are coming up and down, bringing provisions from heaven, army angels, messenger angels, protecting angels, worshiping angels, warrior angels, an open heaven. Is what he's having us cultivate and send out to go on assignment. There's angels of favor, angels of opportunity, angels of inheritance, angels of finance, angels with weapons of warfare. We are to call upon them and release them. And it's every day. You have your angels. Send them forth. Put them out on assignment as the Holy Spirit is leading you in partnership with your spirit man. It's our time to see the angels covering the whole earth as we're releasing them. There's 2-1. 2-1, more angels with us that are for us, that are servants of the Most High God as well. They're mighty, awesome, glorious angels of multiple rankings, and they're in our midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So one more thing, because she was talking, I started getting revelation. The Lord said, you know what you're doing? He said, you're tending the garden again. That circle you're drawing, that's your garden. That's the Garden of Eden. That's where you're given dominion again. Tend the garden. When you draw the circle, tend to it. Don't let weeds get in it. Keep the weeds out. Keep the fullness in. Glory to God. Cylinder shaft of light. People are going to walk in here. What took you 10 years, they're going to get in one month. God's going to do some marvelous things when he clears it fully. Father, thank you for the authority you've given us. And now you're zeroing it back into the earth and focusing it back into a focused position. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. Amen, amen.